As we're looking into this evening's study, I want to say we're not doing Leviticus tonight, okay? So that is one thing. We're going to look at another topic, and that topic is that of spiritually minded, and that is... This is crazy. Look at the attack is already happening. My iPad is not working. Get that one. So I say, okay, I got it. So I will work with this as we deal with this. As we look at this topic tonight, I want to just let you know that this Sunday is going to be a time that I pray that you would consider, that you guys would, that you guys would, consider praying for the team, because the team will be at that time in Brazil. So we're leaving, Friday. And we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. And I know that He is going to do something really extreme as we go down in faith and we trust the Lord for what He wants to do. And I know that He's going to do something great. So as we look at our topic tonight, taking a break from the whole Leviticus until next week, I want to bring up this topic about being spiritually minded. And as we are now living in a generation that, you know what, all this information highway and all the things that we see in our day, because everything has transitioned. This generation has completely gone now into a whole new phase. And even the younger people in this generation is going to end up saying, oh, do you remember when this happened? Because now we're going into the whole new phase of AI, right? That's going to be, that's a historical game changer for the world. But for my generation, it was color TV. Huh? How the old timers here? That was big. That was big, you know? And not only that, was a computer in your house or internet. That was big in our day. Okay. So, the younger people are going, what? Like we're dinosaurs. Hey, but listen, things are changing so quickly. And yet this information highway that we're on is going faster and faster. And so I want to look at a topic that's going to end up, making sure that we keep everything balanced in the midst of this roller coaster that we're on, how fast we're going, that we make sure that, you know what? We keep Jesus the main thing, and He is glorified in our lives. So I want to pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Jesus, we thank You again for Your love, for Your grace, for Your mercy. I pray now that You would just anoint this time. Let Your Holy Spirit do that work that is needed in our hearts, I pray. So we look to You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 6? Because here we look at our topic tonight that deals with very important things concerning the mindset of the believer. Romans 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So here we have this topic that straight from the Word of God that deals with the Christian being a person that is spiritually minded. Now, to be carnally minded is that, you know, that's not a non-believer. That is a person that is a believer but chooses to live in the old style or the old ways of the flesh. And that leads to death. That is just a sad place to be in. But spiritually minded people, it says, is full of life and peace. And this is where we have to look at. Because one of the things is that in life we're going to have a lot of choices. We're going to be infiltrated with a bunch of information in our minds. And a lot of it is disinformation. A lot of it is confusing information. A lot of it is really kind of like the fiery arrows that the enemy puts at our minds. And that's why we need that helmet of salvation, to make sure we're protected. But there was a great man named Horace, a Roman. He said this. He says, rule your mind or it will rule you. So this is important to think about, because there's so much information coming towards us that we got to make sure what is coming in, because your mind is going to really take you. It's kind of like the driver with the steering wheel. It'll take you places. So we see throughout Scripture, it speaks on this topic, and we need to see how important it is, because we know, like, the two greatest commandments that were given, that Jesus says were the two greatest. It says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Notice, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So we see in the midst of one of the greatest commandments that is given, it mentions our mind. And this is important as we begin to look into this study. What is God saying to us concerning the mind of the believer? Because we have to see the word mind in Romans 8:6 is proemia, which denotes one that has in mind, or speaking of the thought of the person. What are you thinking? What do we think throughout the day? When we rise, when we're about to sleep, what is those things that are running through our mind that maybe it's good or maybe it's not good? We have to consider these things. And yet the verb form, phronesis, it speaks of a way of thinking or the frame of mind. It speaks also of intelligence in a good sense and using like wisdom. So when we begin to look at this and how we use our mind, how are we thinking? What is the frame of mind? Because, you know, you could sometimes talk to somebody and whatever just happened or what happened the day before, the last week, last month, even some people for years are in a frame of mind. There are trigger words that sets them off and you think, I didn't say anything. I just mentioned a certain word and it triggered. So what is the frame of mind of these people? And we got to think about this, is that our God created us with this mind that we have, and how we are to begin to use this mind of ours in the right way. If God has created us with them and we're created in His image, how are we to use this wisdom or intelligence, all that flows through our mind? And I think this is something that you and I got to consider when we think about who we are as humans or ones created in the image of God. Because we do know that we're created with a soul, a spirit. That's something that we all have, yet it's something in each one of us that is unseen. That's one thing that's interesting, right? And the mind is something that is right in the mix of all that. That's when you think about it, when you go to a funeral, it could be a loved one, and you look at the body, and when it's lifeless and that character of who that person was is not there, if we all say the same thing, that's really not them. It's the person that the character, the mind, how they thought, their laughs, and all the way they spoke. That's how we identify the person. And yet, at the same time, each one of us cannot see the mind of a person. We see actions, and it's through the body of that person. But the mind itself, no, we don't see. But yet, the action is revealing what the mind is thinking or dealing with. And we see that reaction. Now, the question, though, that comes up more and more about the mind and the spirit and the soul, when we look at these things, it's different than the physical body, right? But yet, we have to consider something about the non-physical dimension between this mind, soul, spirit versus the body. Because it's completely different. Because a lot of people have they're not sure about this, because when they think about especially the secular, what is the brain? Okay, when we begin to look at the brain, is all that what we are as a person, personality, how we think, is it more kind of like a computer? It's the hard drive. It's the material part, or the brain that is material? Or is it kind of like the spirit, the soul, and the mind is part of that, in that dimension? And I would say, yes, it is part of the non-physical dimension, because we see some interesting things when we start looking at Bible stories. There's stories that deal with this topic, and that topic would be that of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, they both died. Their physical body is somewhere in a tomb on the earth, on the surface, but yet they're in a location and they are remembering. They understood he had brothers that he was worried about. They could feel the pain that one rich man burning and wanting something to drink. It's interesting, because we gotta stop and think. What about those service people that are coming out of war and they lost limbs? They have a thing called phantom pain. That limb is not there, but they feel the pain of that missing part. So how is that? Where is that connected to into the brain? And so we got to understand, because there's people thinking, oh, you know, when I die, there is no way we're going to experience any pain or any suffering. Well, tell that to a person that lost their limb and they're having phantom pain. It's not there, but they're experiencing it. So you cannot try to push all this and begin to deny these type of things. But when we begin to look at what is man and his mind and his abilities, not only with his mind, but his spirit and soul, I mean, the Christian of all people should understand this the most, okay? But we have the secular society that understands this, and it's coming through this thing called remote viewing. Now, have you guys, anybody ever heard of that, remote viewing? Okay, so it's also part of this thing called astral projection, where a person can learn techniques and breathing techniques and so forth, and they can come out of their body and they're able to travel in the spirit realm. I had a person in my church in Germany. He was a Canadian guy, and he did that. And he told me some wild stories that from the university, a lot of the young people did that. And they would meet up in the spirit realm. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, remote viewing is used by governments. Our government uses it. Russia government uses it. They are using it for espionage. In fact, they've used it since the early 60s, 80s. It became really popular. They would look for people that were missing through remote viewing, able to travel back in time. They could go forward in time. This is what this whole thing is about. Not only that, do you know there's reports you could see, you could Google it. Supposedly the government's used it to find the Ark of the Covenant. Supposedly they know where it's at by remote viewing. So whether it's true or not, but this is what at least the government are using this technology. So it is real. It is something that is out there. But in this, there's God's way and not man's way, and because those things are forbidden. All that, when you read Deuteronomy 18, a lot of that stuff is forbidden by God. They should not enter into that realm. And listen, some of the stories this guy told me when he did this, he says they came across entities that were so powerful that they feared and they wanted to get out of there. So we see God's way is much different. We see it in godly intelligence, these godly intellectuals that we see in Scripture. And we have them. In fact, in Daniel chapter 1, we see here in verses 3 to 4, it says that the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles and some of the young men who there was no blemish, but good looking, listen, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand. There's the qualification. Here's the mindset of the godly intellectual who had the ability to serve the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literatures of the Chaldeans. So here we have these men of God, children of Israel. And listen, we got to understand, these are some young people. So this brings this whole group, whether old or young, in this body here, you can be used of God and have this ability, this spiritual mindedness that God is looking for. And they believed, and they were intellectuals of their time. They believed in the things of God. They looked toward the Scriptures, and Daniel was given knowledge, we find out, because he is the one really that looked and saw end times. He's the one of Old Testament that most scholars go to look about what is coming in the future of mankind. And he was a young man. And we got to understand that. To live godly on this earth is very important. So here he is. And yet we look at the modern church today, and the danger is that we have lost that drive to seek and to use our brain. A lot of people are more chilled and let, you know, now let AI do all the thinking for you. You know, we don't even write. We type. And you know that writing, they have learned that that has a lot to do with your brain. When you can write with your hand cursive. It really does. This is what I learned in Germany. They know their stuff over there on this type of things. So the point is, we're living in a generation that is going more by feelings, not by using their intellect. What do I feel today? Right? This is dangerous. This is dangerous place to be, because when you start allowing your feelings to guide you rather than using your mind, like God says, I want you to serve me with your mind. Listen, we can be in big troubles if we don't understand that, because what we find out, if you are studying God's word, it is the knowledge of God's word that brings conviction. And it's not what I feel today. It's what does the word of God tell me? And that's what's important. And yet, you know, if I feel, oh, this guy, when he said, oh, she said this, and oh, I just feel, you know, so good. Listen, it's been said, you can be so open-minded that you're so porous that you can't even hold a conviction. You get that? Just like water through a sponge that has the big holes, it's just going to go right through. It's not going to hold it. And a lot of people are just going by that feelings. And listen, it's a dangerous thing, because I've met a lot of young people in different countries around the world, and it's a common problem, okay? When I'm talking with them, whether they're in a church or on the streets, some of them have left the church. Why? Because the days are changing. The situations in our world are going more extreme on a certain things here and there, and they have questions. And some of them have gone to the elders, to the pastors of churches, and they asked them concerning the faith on topics. And what the sad thing is that a lot of the elders and the pastors don't have a worldview that they can explain to this next generation. And because of that, as a spiritual leader, the young people are just saying, hey, you can't even answer me? And they're turning away from the church. And that shows you something that we have to be careful as a modern day church, that we become a people of the word, a people that the oldies understand what the new generation is dealing with. And because it's not changing everything and say, well, this is not relevant for today. No, it is relevant. We just got to search the scripture, and the scripture will guide us into all truth. So we must realize and understand this is how one thinks is how they're going to live. And this is very important. It's dealing again with the mind, and we have to remember, because all of us understand this, I think, that our former lives, our connections that we had prior to coming to Jesus, was really deprived. It was depravity at its finest. And it just began to bring in more sin as we developed in the knowledge of sinful lifestyle, the flesh, the evil practices. Because, you know, there's sometimes you start something and you try it and you say, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. But then you try it. And then next you know, you're going deeper, deeper, deeper. And you're doing things that you thought in your wildest dream you'd never do. And there you are. So how do we deal with that? Because now in this realm, spirit, soul, mind, or the Bible also says heart, this realm of the unseen person of you is being dealt with. And really, we're now in a spiritual realm in many ways. And this is where We see a lot of spiritual warfare, and this is where we have to be careful. But you got to understand, when you're dealing with people that you say, you know what, I've talked to them, but you have to understand, if they're not a Christian and they don't have the Holy Spirit there, teaching them, guiding them, and then bringing remembrance, remember, that's part of the Holy Spirit's, the job of the Holy Spirit, remembrance, we got to see that, look at this whole thing is to get you, the enemy would like to get you to completely not think like you should be thinking. That's his goal. That's his desire. But we see in Luke chapter 8, remember this story, when the demoniac, when Jesus goes in that eastern part of the Sea of Galilee, we see that he ends up casting the legion of demons out of this guy. And it tells us in Luke 8:35, then when it went out to see what had happened, the people, they came to Jesus and they found the man whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what does it say? Clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. He was the maniac. He was the lunatic. They couldn't go there. He would break the chains. He was so powerful with these powers of demons. But yet, when Jesus dealt with them in the spiritual sense, it also tells us he's sitting in his right mind. So we got to understand the connection here, because the enemy is really wants to deal with the minds of men, and Satan sends his messengers and he tries to capture them and really corrupt the message of the gospel. This is the way the enemy works. But we see, we got to be careful, because this is the strategy that we see from the enemy. He knows that, okay, how can I penetrate that mind? How, if this person is trusting in the Lord and he's a person of the word, how can I break this up? There has to be some way to break through the wall, so to say. And we learned a good lesson from Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. So listen, that little leaven, it permeates and it begins to work, and yet it's trying to take us away. That's what leaven does. Little sin will begin to grow and it will begin to separate you from your Lord, your God. And this is what Paul is giving us a warning, and it's very important that we catch that, what he's telling us. Now, I like this little leaven, because leaven is really just a compromise. And I think we've all been there. You know, sometimes we think, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And yet it is. You know, we might say, well, you know, they're doing it. And yet, you know what? That's what the God of this world wants us to think. You know, let them flow with the broad way that leads to destruction. The flow is going. Let them just follow suit in this way. And this is the dangerous thing. But I like what Edwin Lutzer says. He said this, the difference between worldliness and godliness is a renewed mind. Think about that for a second. Because God is calling us to the life of godliness, his people. But the world is also in the hands of the enemy, and he has a sway over this world. And he's having people to follow him, and many are going that way. But we see we must have a renewed mind. That's what the scripture tells us. And we need to know what the Christ mindset looks like. And that's important because one of the great scriptures that I think we all know and been taught is that of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And that's talking about transforming or renewing your mind by this transformation. Very important. And I love this because this is one of the verses that I think almost every Christian has really been touched by. We're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed. That is the key thing. And yet, we can read our Bibles and maybe truths are being revealed to us and we're going like, wow, I've never seen this. I've never saw anything like this when we first begin to believe. And yet we must hold on to it because there's other things that are kind of difficult as we grow in the Lord. And the Bible tells us the natural mind cannot understand these things. Okay? The things of God are for the believer. And the natural man, the carnal man, they have trouble understanding the Word of God. It's difficult. And these things are true. Okay? Until you begin to really let that transformation happen and you begin to be conformed, then you begin to understand. It becomes more clearer and you understand. But even so, as a Christian that is growing and you're learning, it never stops. Because even, look with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice here, when it's dealing with the Word of God, it tells us in verses 15 and 16, he says, on the count that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also with the rest of Scripture. Listen, there are things when you and I are reading the Word of God that are difficult, but we are also training our mind. We are renewing our mind and we are expanding the understanding and the knowledge of the things of God. And this is very key important because we need to grow in spiritual areas. We need to have this spiritual mindset expanding and not just staying in a small little thing. Because listen, I know there's people that have been Christians for many, many 30, 40 years, and they have a really elementary understanding of the Word. What happened? Do you blame the pastor, the elders, or do you blame the person? What happens to those type of people, which are many, and it's globally? Okay? So we have to look at this. This spiritual mindset, the scriptures are here in front of you and I, people in different languages all around the world, and they can say, well, I've been a Christian for this many years, and it could be many years, but you really look at their lifestyle. How are they acting? That tells you if they really have an understanding of the Word. So we see there's a need of a renewed mind. And this is something that you and I must come to grips with. And I want to point this out because it's because the mind is dealing with not only our thoughts, but our life and how we live it. And that's important because when I think about it, the thought process, the intellect of each one of us in this room, it's connected to the will of each one of us. What you say you want, You got to have an understanding and a renewed mind to begin to think about, well, yes, do I really want the will of God? Or is it looking polished up, cleaned up a bit, but still your will? This is the danger that you might be satisfied, because in the end, if we're not dealing with this renewed mind, then we see in decision making where the true test comes, the failure. That is where it all comes down. That's like studying at school and taking the test. And then you got to deal with the grade. Okay? It is decision making. And what is the mind at that point saying to you and I? What is our reaction to that? That is the question. And that's very important to the Christian, is where is our mind at? What are we thinking? What is happening? So I just know there's a story that you guys all know, and it's in Mark chapter 8. And here, Jesus, verse 31 and 30 through 33, is telling his disciples that he's going to suffer many things, and he will be rejected, and he's going to be killed, but yet on the third day he will rise again. And then, as Jesus told them, we see that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus for that. Remember that story, popular story. And when he turned around and he looked at his disciples, Jesus then rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." This is the most hardest rebuke in all the Bible to a disciple of the Lord. There is no other greater one. Right here, you just read it. And yet we see, he says, "You are not mindful of the things of God." How important we understand what God is showing us, teaching us, verse by verse, from old to new. The old, okay, remember, because Peter would have in the synagogue studied all Old Testament. He would have read Isaiah, especially chapter 53, Psalms, dealing with the cross. He should have known all these things, right? But even though he could have a great confession just prior to that you are the Christ, he said the right thing, he understood, yet he also began to want to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Interesting. Having the understanding of what the Word of God is telling us is very important, that Jesus had to suffer for us. He had to die. That resurrection would be so important. And yet, Peter, in one sense, thought he was right in his own mind. And there's sometimes we think, if we're not sticking close to the Word and taking in the knowledge of what God's Word's telling us, we can make the same type of mistakes. And that's why it's important. You know, I just know that it is important, because look at, how can you, Peter, I know he had to read Isaiah 50, because Isaiah is the greatest prophet, according to the Jews. And Isaiah 53, when you read verses 6 to 12, it says about the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he has led us, the lamb, to the slaughter, and he's cut off from the living. It begins to just really tell what Jesus was going to do on that day when he was crucified. And it begins to tell us that he's my servant. God said, the Father said that he's my servant. He's doing what he's supposed to do. His soul has been poured out to death. He's numbered with the transgression, the oppressors, those thieves on the cross. All this prophetic stuff was coming out. Why wouldn't Peter Understand that. He is not knowing the way of what the Messiah was going to go and do. He might have maybe, as a good Jewish boy, gone to synagogue. Maybe he sat in the back just on his, well, didn't have his phone, but whatever he had, he was doing something that he shouldn't. Maybe he wasn't paying attention. I don't know, but he should have known. That's important. Why didn't he not know the necessity of the death of Christ? Peter should have understand that there was going to be a sacrifice on the cross because it's in the scripture. Peter must have thought like, oh, wait, you know, that's my friend. I can't lose my friend, Jesus. Listen, it was revealed, the Messiah and all that he was going to do, and yet he missed it. And this is where we have to be careful. We have to look at the scripture, use our mind, and let the word of God give us understanding. As here we see Simon Peter is like, okay, he had maybe a good intention. Hey, I don't want my Lord to be killed. That's a good thing. But listen, that whole motives and all that, it wasn't aligned to what the word of God said. That's what we have to understand. Sometimes things don't seem to be right, you know, and yet they are. Joseph being betrayed by his brothers, it didn't seem right, but he ended up saving his family. You gotta understand, very important, these things. So we see in the scriptures, there's words that are spoken and they tell us, like that of Titus 2:6, it tells us to be sober-minded. Then we have another one in 2 Timothy 1:7. It tells us to be sound-minded. We have another one in 2 Corinthians 13:11 and Philippians 2. It says to be one-minded. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Philippians 2:5, it tells us to have the mind of Christ. And lastly, we see in Colossians 3:2, it says to set our minds on the things above. So the scripture is full of verses that is really dealing with our minds and what we're supposed to be thinking and letting into our mindset that is going to help us to know what God wants. What does he want from us? Listen, one thing I do know is that you cannot know God's will without a renewed mind. There is no way. There is no chance. You have to understand that our mind, we need to have it renewed. And listen, there's things we keep failing on, and yet our Lord, you know, he began the good work, and he's going to finish it. So for him to renew us, that is a good thing, that he hasn't given up on us. And that's why, again, Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the transformation that will end up happening when your mind is being renewed. And then it tells us that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There you got it right there. To know the will of God, you got to have this transforming transformation that really happens through a renewed mind. Why? So we can prove. We can prove what is good and acceptable. And what is that will of God for us? That, to me, is one of the most important things for a believer on this earth. That you and I know these things. And that's important, because it's one thing to repent and have an understanding of what Jesus did on the cross. That's awesome. And he gives us a new heart, and we're able to make a whole new start in life. But when we begin to look at this, we have to understand that, hey, God wants us to be changed to the point that we now become a vessel in his hand, and that the power of the Holy Spirit can come, and that we understand what the Spirit is doing and wants from us, and we begin to serve God. And we learn how to serve God and have right actions with serving him. Because there's a lot of people that serve God with the wrong motives. It's more look at me and not being a servant, humbly serving the Lord. There's a big difference there. And so it's through the renewing of the mind that teaches us this. But we learn, look at, in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Listen, desires, those are the things that come from within. And that's why we need the word. We're dealing, there's a battle more up here than there is on the outside. It all starts up in here. And God is wanting us to see this, and that's why he wants to help us in renewing. Because, listen, one of the things you got to look at is how some of the people that followed God, especially like when you think of the Jews believe that the eye and even the ear is a gateway to the soul. So what are we looking at? What are we hearing? Because it begins to influence the thought of the inner man. And we have to look and understand that. Because we have to, if we want to do things for God and do it right, what influence is the devil trying to throw at each one of us so we don't do it correctly? You know, that we get the honor and the praise rather than God. This is something we have to be careful of and understand that it's very serious. So one of the things that I see in the church, especially when it comes to Bible studies, some people will get to a point in their Christianity that it's the same old thing, or it's boring, and their Christian life becomes stagnant. And listen, and the learning of the word goes down. That's the dangerous part to be at. And we have to be careful. We have to practice what the Word of God says. And how do we practice that? How do we be engaged in the renewing of the mind? Well, the Bible tells us, because God's looking at us. He understands. Remember why the first judgment came, the flood? It says that he saw man's imagination was continually evil. Right? He's seen. He sees what's going on. And we need to understand that. And so we need to understand that we have to allow that renewing of the spirit in our mindset. And how do we do that? Listen, it's through memory. Listen, one of the things we got to understand, in our memory, the enemy has... He loves to work on that old memory of the old life and bring condemnation. But we learn in Romans, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, right? But yet the Holy Spirit, he's the one reminding us of the word and the things that Jesus has said and taught. And this is important. And yet I can see, I can be said, okay, I failed in this, Lord, forgive me. And he is the one that cleans me up. Jesus is the one that, through his Holy Spirit, is able to deal with my thoughts, help me in this area. And we learn here. Let me close with this last verse. Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We have to learn to take control of our minds and our thoughts and begin to pour these type of things in, because if we don't, if we try to stay neutral or idle, the enemy will pour in, because we're living in a day where information's flying. And you turn on the TV, you turn the news radio on, you turn anything on, and it's pumping something into your mind. And what is it? That's the question. And so we have to allow the word and the things of God and let that light come in and let that law of God, which we can rejoice in, and the righteousness, and we can deal with that in a way that brings a joy to our soul, because we're understanding being on the other side. That is important, to dwell in the mercies of God, because when you hear stories and you understand people that are struggling and they're doing the most crazy and wicked things, some of us can say, I understand them. I've been there. But I know what God can do. And God can change you. God can give you new life. God can, and you know it. It's by experience. And so this is what we're looking at. With the renewed mind, we see God begins to flow in that sanctifying work, and the Holy Spirit is now just pouring the word into us and letting it flourish as we meditate and we begin to think on these type of things. It changes us. And that's what God wants to do. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you want to do in each person's life. Lord, I know it's through a renewed mind and the working of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, that you would do this work in each one of us. Lord, it is because it's through your Spirit, only through your Spirit, that you can bring remembrance, Lord, of things that we're not even thinking about. And we've been, when I think about it, we've been in so many Bible studies, so many courses through our lifetime, so many teachings we've heard online and on our radios, listening to worship that praises you and speaks of your attributes, and we sing them. And Lord, we know, Lord, the enemy's trying to stop all of that. We ask, Lord, would you help us in renewing our mind, that we would not be carnal, but we would have that life and peace that you speak about. That's what we desire. Help us, Lord Jesus. Fill us afresh with your Spirit even now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.